Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Bills running away now.
You're listening to the best of the Bills.
Touchdown, the first play from scrimmage.
A weekly mix of WGR 550's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
I think I can say, and I would say it with pride, that we never threw stuff out the window as a kid, as a family. My dad had a Cadillac for like a year, a used Cadillac. Remember, it had ashtrays in the back. It might have had like six ashtrays in it.
My first car definitely had multiple ashtrays. No question about
there
it.
There wasn't also either any smoking in this car.
A 72 four-door Oldsmobile. There were ashtrays everywhere in that thing.
It was made out of ashtrays,
right.
That car, literally.
It was a giant ashtray.
Yes. Well, I have missed the last seven shows here. I wonder if I've missed a lot. I feel like I could say yes or no to that. Like, I haven't missed James Cook coming back. I actually did miss his walking out.
Yeah, you missed the fulcrum of one of the weirdest contract hold-ins, hold-outs that any of us can really remember. Like, to show up and be, everything's fine, and then just, you know, eight practices or seven practices in, just go, yay, I'm not going
to
do this.
To me, it just never made sense that he would do nothing, though. Like, he was...
Sure.
What was the point? I was always asking, what was the point of all the noise if he was not prepared to at least push a little bit? And, you know, when, as you're saying, when he did it was weird or, you know, not what you usually see. But probably, or do we know this, he felt he might have been close enough so that I'll get in and not get fined. If that was the case, it would have been the case for the minicamp example. And then it just didn't get anywhere, which leads me a little bit closer to where you've been the whole time on Cook, which is that either they shouldn't or they won't make a deal with him, or both.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what we've got here, is his coming to the realization that maybe this isn't happening, or the way he likes it, at least. And then, you know, after your next move comes their next move.
Right.
And we'll see if there is one.
Yeah, I think we're far enough in now I have been pessimistic about them getting something done simply because I just did not think Cook's ask was near enough. I haven't really bought. You missed a whole round of reporting early last week that was positing this as actually close. Like, that's why maybe he's holding in now, because he doesn't want something to happen just before this thing gets pushed over the finish line. And like we've all learned from you over the years, ask yourself a question here. I think you were the first one to sort of put it this way. It's not quite the opposite game that you like to play, but who would benefit from this information being out there, right? I felt like it was Pelissero and I think Rossini, respectable NFL reporters that were describing the situation as they're not that far apart, Cook and the Bills. And I felt like that absolutely had to be from the player's side of things. Like, turn the heat up a little bit, right? If it's close, what happens with the fan base? The fan base sort of...
Just pay him.
Come on, Bills. What are you doing here? Like, get across the finish line. And to whatever extent that matters, probably not very much at all, if at all. But still, it's one move you've got in your holster there if you're the player. And there's not a lot that you have other than
this.
Withholding services or creating the appearance that a deal is imminent or at least close enough. And that sort of might shift someone who's frustrated with the player's frustration to the team. And that could be the impetus to get something done. I don't know. I do believe, honestly, now that they are still engaged. Like, and Bean says that all the time. But
constant communication.
I know. Well, I had some fun last week. I think you might have liked this. How constant is the communication if you were totally blindsided when he started his hold-in? Like, he didn't communicate that to you? Because everyone over there said they didn't know that he was going to do that last Sunday when he did it. He just did it.
Constant communication, not a term I've ever scrutinized, I think should mean at least once a day.
I think it should mean, by virtue of what I just said, that you're not surprised by anything that happens within the context of this situation. But
there's constant communication, then there's sort of like bad communication.
Yeah.
Like, constant for me would mean, I don't think you need to check in with him necessarily
once
more than once a day,
right.
Once an hour.
I don't disagree.
Is that Desmond in the hatch where you got to push? I don't think it has to be that constant to be constant. But I think once a day, that would be, that's minimum.
Yeah,
probably, I would say.
But I'm a little, I'm sort of, to an extent, maybe more than ever, sort of bracing for at any point during one of our shows here or some other time of the day, like that they've got it.
That's an interesting word to use.
That they figured it out.
Bracing.
Because I would be wrong. I said all along, you just alluded to it, I didn't think that they would get something done. I feel like the Bills, my sense is that there is some urgency on their side. Like, they would like this to be alleviated. I don't know if they're shook up about him not working currently or anything, but I think they would like just to have everything buttoned up, because I don't know that they know exactly what he'll do next. You know, my assumption would be that at some point he just ends this hold-in in enough time to not miss game checks and is on the field when they open the season, but... You know, I also took the time to call Mike Jannetty from SpotTrack to find out if he really wanted to go all the way here. How far is that? How far can he go?
Week 12? Is it one of those?
He needs to play 6 games. So he could miss 11 games.
Yeah.
He's going to not get paid for any of those 11 games, but if he were to come back with 6 games left, he would get credit for the season and become a free agent. I don't think that's happening either. That's one extreme. Like, well, what are the extremes here? That is an extreme. The Bills giving him a 3-year, $45 million contract, I think, is also an extreme. I don't think either of those things are going to happen. But I'm starting to feel like the Bills are maybe a little more urgent than I'd like, which is why I guess I use the phrasing bracing for.
Mm.
Trying to get something done.
Well, you could mean it as... I don't think they should make any sort of...
That's kind of what I mean, yeah. I don't love the idea.
Sort of braced for the possibility that they, quote, overpay him. I don't know. This is another of these that we've had. We have these constantly in sports and in life, right? Like, the principle of it offends you, perhaps. I think a lot of fans would say yes to that. The principle of it, you know, as I point out a lot, and you do too, we don't have this in our lives. You can't just not work and expect a raise. You can't just, most of us do not have that, you know, that luxury. So how do we react to this? Well, he does have a contract. So what are you doing? Honor it. Simple. So it's offensive in that way, but it's also, I guess, reasonable for a person in Cook's position in football, in sports.
Yeah.
You have this. This is the time when this was foreseeable from, you know, during last season as he was piling up touchdowns. Like, watch. If he wants to battle them, this will be his time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're in it. It's still hard to believe he wouldn't play.
Right.
But that's the dance, right? Like, this, it's still only August 11th. We're almost still a month away. And we have all that time for this to get resolved. So he doesn't play on Saturday.
But he did dress and warm up.
He was on the field.
Which I can divulge now. I knew that ahead of time. But I did not expect that it would result in him playing. I thought that would be really a weird look. Like, he sat out a week of practice, almost a week of practice, and puts the uniform on to warm up. And the Buffalo Bills in the year 2025 are going to put that guy on the field and play a game. Like, no way is he playing. He hasn't done anything meaningful on the field in a week. So anyway, that sort of adds to the, I guess, uniqueness of the situation. But I'm also probably guilty of not following every guy's hold-in through the years here, but it doesn't seem like a normal tack to take to not practice, but then dress and warm up for the game. It seemed odd to me.
Yeah, he could have practiced the whole time and not played.
Right.
You know, that's what I would have probably predicted. It does seem like a strange kind of loophole. I'm not even able yet to sort of say hold-in without saying it slowly, because it's still a little bit of a foreign term and concept. Like, it's kind of new.
It is our first one at home here since that has become in vogue in the league. We haven't had a guy do this.
It seems like maybe it shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah, sure.
Like, all right, and back to the real life example. You go to work, but you just sit there the whole day?
Kind of like me.
Like you on you made a career out of it.
Most days, yeah.
Yeah, you go, so I'm here, but I'm not going to do anything. Like, as far as work is concerned, what's the difference? Why patronize us? I mean, he goes to meetings, I guess. There's some work being done, but he's not practicing.
We did hear last week that he's been taking part in walkthroughs, too. He's just not in the actual practices.
He'll walk, but he won't run.
Yeah.
He'll meet, but he won't.
He'll walk through.
He'll walk through at his own pace. I'm sure a very leisurely one, especially with the heat. All right, so he doesn't play. I don't know. I mean, I think the game is this too for me, at the risk of throwing cold water unnecessarily on what we're doing here. But is there anything important from Saturday? And I feel like I want to say no. Relative term, who are the last guys on the roster, the Bills will tell you, is important. In their lives, it's crucially important. But to the fate of their season, probably not. You know, somebody gets cut, then you have an injury. Guy comes right back anyway, you know, if he's not signed by someone else, which would be the case, you know, most of the time. So backups are playing. I think, you know, we're always on wide receivers, and that's a good enough place to start with Saturday. And you have Shavers here, who made a couple of plays, one big one. You have Elijah Moore, didn't get the ball, didn't play a lot. Samuel hurt again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are topics there, but without Allen, what am I doing with any of it? I mean, I heard a lot on the broadcast and, you know, afterward about Shavers. Ooh. And, you know, this is his third year here. I mean, the Bills have not thought enough of him yet on a team that we all think their receivers are kind of bad overall to bother with him, period. Like, it's just, he's never even made it to the left. One play.
Yep.
With Trubisky as the quarterback that day in a blowout.
The Jets last year, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, whatever the Bills are going to say about him or what's going to happen, maybe things are different. But we've kind of hated their receiver room. And here's a guy that's all that now, but has never meant enough to them to elevate him and to make him useful. So is that different? I guess I would predict no. Are their receivers worse than last year? Is it meaningfully different? Mac Hollins is gone. They didn't have Cooper in camp anyway, but you have Moore now and you have Palmer,
right?
Of course. I don't know if that's going to mean anything when it comes to Shavers.
I think the spot to look, you've mentioned, I think the three players that I think are maybe battling for two spots, even though they're not all in the same position necessarily, like as far as the depth chart goes. I think Shavers, Samuel, and Moore, there's no way to me all three of those people are on the team. And the Samuel trick is that it looked good last year when he was finally healthy, but you had to wait for him to finally be healthy. And this year has started with that being the case again. He also dressed and did warm-up stuff on Saturday, but did not play. Again, that would have been weird after missing the amount of practice he's missed and then suddenly be in a game. But it is a sign that maybe he's closer, and when they get back on the field here this week in advance of going to Chicago at the end of the week, maybe he's participating. But either way, I wonder how much they can count on him and how much they're willing to count on him. Cutting him is not ideal. If you can find someone to take that contract off your hands, which would be really hard, you could trade him for like almost nothing in return. And that alleviates, like, that's a different equation than the cut. Like, there's significant savings if you can find a trade partner. But the trick is finding a trade partner for someone who's been injured, you know, for as much as he has been, not just even here, really throughout his career. But right now, I'm sort of rooting for them to find their way to that. I don't know that they will. But I think Moore gives you enough insurance from a veteran and even from a skill set standpoint that Samuel taking up a spot and it's some injury after another, I think that would clear the way for Shavers. And maybe someone else. I don't know how, you know, they're going to keep six, I'm assuming. Last year they only did keep five, but I feel like six is more the number. Like last year, I think was a change in that. I think they had six all the way through. Some years seven, but usually a guy goes on IR right away. So I think it doesn't count.
I think this player, at best, is inactive on Sundays all year. Like, at best, he makes the roster. But who does he play over? The tough thing, you know, we talk about running backs like this a lot, just like what their value really is and how replaceable they might be. This is a big guy. This is a, you know, like a maybe an ex-receiver, contested catches, talented, but he's not playing over Coleman.
No, he's maybe Coleman's primary backup.
He would be his backup.
If he makes the roster. And
right. That's different than Samuel.
That's a point. Right. That's a point I've been making to Sal about Moore and Samuel and Shavers in that body type style of player, what you're looking for. Maybe there's even special team gunner opportunities there. Samuel's not giving you that. Elijah Moore's not giving you that. If you believe Moore can, with better health, sort of replace Samuel, then I think you should try to find your way to divesting yourself of Curtis Samuel if you can and keep Shavers over him. And that might even result in him getting a uniform on game day.
But like you said, what are the odds they'll be successful?
Yeah, I
don't think they're good at all.
And the cut, the flat out cut costs you $7 million in dead money. And I just don't, there's no savings from what his cap kid is if he's here on the team or if he's dead money. It's around the same money.
I think they'd still do it. Well, maybe that's the, you know, defense for that.
That right. That's the. That's,
I think they would still do it.
Right.
They can't. They haven't been able to trust him.
Right.
Maybe that changes. Yep. In time for him, but, and I don't think he's tradable. I think every team has a guy, a younger version of him. Maybe that sells him a little bit short. I mean, he's a great athlete. He's been, yep, you know, an interesting, versatile kind of player, but not so much here. And I think every team's got a guy like that that usually would not be a, certainly a day one pick, if even a day two pick, and there's a little bit gadgety, you know. Yeah. You don't need to pay this money for that, plus you get the youth. And I think every team has a Shavers, too. Big undrafted.
Flashes,
like you see. Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But what do you do with them?
Another guy that maybe, I don't think we've spent 4 minutes, 5 minutes in this room talking about the player I'm about to mention, but the Bills had him do something that he has never done in his collegiate or NFL career on Saturday, and Chenault, that was return a punt. With the kick return stuff that's happening, you're expecting a lot more kicks to be returned because of the new rules. Touchbacks go to the 35 now, so kicking teams are going to want to put the ball in play. It would make sense to prioritize having more than one guy back there that you can trust. And so Chenault getting punt return time, I've made the point all along that they signed him like, oh, great, maybe he replaces Codrington as their return guy. Well, not so fast. He's never done, and he's never returned a punt, even in college. He has one touchdown on a punt return where he recovered a fumble and ran it back.
Stats are for
so
losers.
He's never had that job. So, but they gave him, he had one punt return on Saturday, caught a two-point conversion. Like, he's another guy, body type-wise, he's a big dude. Like, he's 6'1", 6'2", 220. So he to me is someone maybe to keep an eye on as we move through these next two games. Because he's not, I thought he had a real hard time making this team. But
I still think so.
The return stuff, if he can return punts, then maybe there's a battle. You know, you keep an extra receiver because you're not keeping Codrington, who's never going to play defense for you. You know, unless the game doesn't matter, probably, is the case. I mean, he could get in a game, but it's not your plan. Like, he's not like, oh, good, let's get him on the field. So he's not giving you anything really other than returns. And if Chenault proves he can do that, then maybe that's a way you can keep an extra receiver and have him be your return guy.
Also, though, as far as the offense goes, I mean, how would he be on the field unless somebody gets hurt, right? I mean, these are all backups. Chenault at least has draft capital, but it's five teams ago. He's been on, right. This is his fifth team at least. Maybe he's been at another camp or two along the way as well, but Jacksonville, Carolina, Seattle, and the Chargers now here. The kickoffs, I think that's a really interesting topic. The effect. We didn't spend much time analyzing. It's a pretty deep dive to do it intelligently. Like the effect of the kickoff rule change last year, the 30 as opposed to the 25. And not entirely did teams just not bother with it, but, you know, A lot of the time, we'll just take the touchback. And I'm getting the sense so far this year that teams are moving off of that. This is enough to get them to want to land the ball inside the 20, but beyond the goal line. I mean, I watched or listened to five or six games over the weekend in my car a lot. Almost the entire Bills game I was in my car for. And we're trying to see what teams want to do, and it's the preseason anyway, so you're willing to do things you might not think are optimal. You know, just test. Mm-hmm. You're trying to test where you want to be here. But I think, I don't know about Sean McDermott necessarily, but I think largely coaches will see the touchback as bad. We'll take our chances.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you want to come up with something there. When I am listening to a game and the kicker puts it in the landing zone and the guy brings it out to the 28, I'm like, okay, well, why am I spending my life
worrying about
analyzing
this?
Right. You know?
Yeah.
But I think teams will want that. And I wonder if there's just maybe waiting out there a new approach. Who was the kicker? I think it was Houston's guy, Fairbairn, who drilled one trying to hit a line drive to skip in front of the returner, like make it tough to field the ball. And if it, as long as it lands in that area, then there's no 35-yard line on a touchback. It would be the 20. If that goes through the end zone, I think, would it be the 20 or 25?
If it lands in outside of the end zone between the 20 and the goal line and then goes into the end zone and is downed or goes through the end zone, then yeah, that's the 20.
That's a big difference.
That's a big swing, yeah. I every time we've talked about this or said, special teams coaches should be, and kickers should be, practicing those kinds of kicks like you're indicating Fairbairn might have tried.
He tried it, and he missed it, and it might have gone out of bounds.
Yeah, so that's the 40.
That's the 40.
Right.
But that's only 5 yards.
Right.
So you might as well, I think maybe you just want
to
try that.
I think you're probably going to want to try to cover kicks to start with. And if you find that you're having a hard time doing that, you don't like the average drive start, you're giving up big plays, whatever it is, then I think you pivot to this, which is try to optimize. I'm going to try to land it and get it through the end zone or at least into the end zone. And then I have a look at you starting at your 20. And what's the downside there? Well, I give up 5 more yards than I would if I just kicked a touchback. Maybe that's motivation to try it because the payoff, that's 20 yards. Yep. Or 15 yards if you get it right, depending on which, the penalty for out of bounds or in the end zone.
And in the old days where you want a high kickoff, ideally, so you give your coverage team a chance to get down the field. Now we don't care.
Right, because you can't start running down there till the guy touches the ball.
Or the ball, either that or the ball lands.
Right.
So really that's not different. It doesn't matter how much time it takes to travel that distance.
Right.
So you want to maybe kick it as hard as you can and have it skip into the returner, get a bounce, right. Get something stupid to happen there.
Like dodgeball. Just boot it at somebody and hope you can recover it.
Yeah. But think about how good a throw that is in dodgeball.
Right.
You really have to fire it.
Right.
And maybe that's the same kind of here with the kickers. Like, yeah. Maybe we're asking a little bit more than they're capable of to do that. But I think that would be what you'd want if you could do it. 803-0550 is our number if you want to talk about Saturday. Anything important for you happen on Saturday? I bet a lot of people went to that game and spent a lot of it looking at the new stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Like just sort of pondering it. It's the preseason, right? So you can let your mind drift a little bit. But I was out there at the fair yesterday, and up at Chestnut Ridge, you can see that view, and like it looks pretty ready. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here today. Sal will join us at 5. Before that, Pat Corain. There, Bulldog, you should know if you want it. Big Visca guy.
Oh, okay.
Pat, I think, is a, you know, previously anyway.
It's kind of interesting to me that the Bills have got two guys. Not that Elijah Moore and LaVisca Chenault are like the only guys that sort of fit this profile, but I feel like they are guys that have gotten more conversation and attention than their careers warrant.
Oh.
They're like darlings of like, oh, that guy. We've got two of those guys on the Bills right now trying to make the team.
Chenault and who?
Elijah Moore.
Oh, yeah, sure. And Hamler and a few others. I don't know how much attention he gets, but... Yeah, they have, what did Ian Harditz call it? A 2021 fever dream or something.
Right.
Their wide receivers, right. Pretty good.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer hanging here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on the show today. But for the next few minutes. We will go to the Western Hotline. No Bills practice today as the team gets ready to travel to Chicago for a joint practice tomorrow. But still a lot going on yesterday. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, good morning. How are we doing?
Pretty good, guys. Yeah, it's going to be a filled weekend with, you know, joint practice, obviously, and a game on Sunday night. So today the team will hold a bit of a walkthrough and no media, and then travel to Chicago. And then tomorrow it will be, I think, a late morning, like kind of right when you're on here. Okay. So we'll see what we can do to kind of bring you some information about the practice, still organizing that time. They're also an hour different, so I have to watch all that together. And then Sunday night is the game, I think national television as well, by the way.
I believe that is right. We do also know for that game, the Bears are going to be playing their starters. Head coach Sean McDermott joined Shobin the Bulldog yesterday. No confirmation on if we'll have any starters playing for the Bills. But right. Sal, on the Bears, I don't know about you, but for me at least, I watched too much of that game against the Dolphins, the Bears game, to get to Quinn Ewers. Don't worry, it's my problem, not yours. But I was a little surprised to see Caleb Williams not play, especially just from the outside looking in, seeing him kind of somewhat struggle at practice. I was a little surprised to not see him out there.
Yeah, I didn't really watch any of that game, but I do know I'm reading the reports of what was going on at those joint practices, right? And last week they had the joint practice against the Miami Dolphins, and more than anything, I kept hearing how the Bears defense was dominating the Dolphins offense. But on Caleb Williams specifically, I do think it's interesting that here's Ben Johnson. He gets this job. He's the most coveted head coach on the market. He's a very good offensive mind. He's going to really kind of revamp what they're doing offensively. He has a second-year quarterback in Caleb Williams who, let's face it, struggled a bit last year, ups and downs, probably more so than people expected. And they are going with two straight weeks of joint practices. And that's fine, and that's what works for them. Like, I'm not here to judge, but it is interesting to me because I would normally think that a coach like that would want to keep rolling with installing their own stuff, getting them together and on the same page before going against other teams. But maybe that's how he feels he has to ready his team better, which is go against other live competition as quickly as possible. So from a Bears standpoint, I think that's really interesting.
I also saw, too, Ben Johnson speaking with the media, I think this was yesterday, mentioning that they are throwing a ton at Williams in the offense, yep. And that they're going to start pulling it back as they get closer to the regular season. I don't know if that's necessarily normal in the NFL. I kind of like it, though.
We'll see how it works out, right? I mean, there's all these different ways to do it. You know, do you install in pieces at a time, and you grow it, and you add more on as you go, or in this case, you throw as much as you can, you see what sticks, what you like, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I know, look, here in Buffalo, Joe Brady takes over as the offensive coordinator, and I ask him, how do you go about running your offense with what Josh has already been running, going back to Ken Dorsey or Brian Daboll and everybody kind of knowing, you know, what works, and he said, well, that's it. You start with what does Josh like, what works, and then you go from there. So there's always different ways to do it, and we'll see. We'll see how it works out for the Bears this season. But I like the fact that the Bills defensively have a full day of practice against a Ben Johnson offense. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's going to be cool for them to get those reps on their defensive side.
Sal Capaccio joining us on the Western Hotline. Sal, injuries are still a lengthy list. Not as lengthy as like a couple weeks ago, but it's still threatening the double digits, if not in there. Deion Dawkins, most notably, was not at practice yesterday after after Tuesday. And then, of course, the wide receiver room still also heavily banged up. Tyler Bass still not practicing. Max Hairston remains out. There's still a lot of question marks with the injuries, Sal.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I lost you guys for a minute. I don't know what you heard or did. Did you get the last of my response about the Ben Johnson offense and the Bills defense?
No, we heard all that.
We heard all of that.
Okay, great. Sorry that right at that moment I lost you guys, and that's why I asked if you were there. My apologies. All right, so injuries. Sorry, I think that's what you asked me about here, Derek. And yeah, there are definitely a bunch of injuries the Bills are still dealing with, including yesterday, down several wide receivers, right? I mean, like, this is just getting to a point where they're dipping so far into the depth chart at wide receiver. Now, that's great for those guys to get the opportunity when it comes time for that. But honestly, like, now, you know, you're missing not only Curtis Samuel, who's obviously been out for a little while here, hopefully getting back. Khalil Shakir, we know he's not coming back this week. But even yesterday, Elijah Moore and Tyrell Shavers both out yesterday. So at wide receiver, you're dipping into the depth chart pretty good there. And then Joshua Palmer was definitely not completely right yesterday. He had a wrap on with a sleeve, and he was still doing everything, though. I didn't see him take a rep off, which was really great for him to show, you know, just that he's out there. But he also had a really good practice, by the way. He was making catches, and, you know, that's something that I think him and Josh Allen need to get on the same page, and I thought that was really working yesterday. Tyler Bass still out. I don't know what, you know, obviously they have Caden Davis as a kicker right now. They've kept him on the roster here, and they do have Ray Davis. I don't expect him to kick. Sean McDermott said one time was enough to kind of see them, make sure they could do it. But at what point, like, do you start to get really concerned about Tyler Bass not being able to kick, guys? I mean,
yeah, it's been
this
a while.
Is now, yeah, I mean, it's been since the first week of training camp, right? You have to think, like, so training camp started on the 30th. I'd say, like, right around August 1st, let's say, one of those days, somewhere in there. I mean, we're talking 3 weeks now we're going on, 2.5 weeks, and still no Tyler Bass. So that's concerning. And then offensive line, I mean, I said to the guys this morning, I'll say it again, Ryan Vandermark is suddenly becoming a really important part of this Bills team because Deion Dawkins did not practice yesterday. He's your starting left tackle. He has a back flare-up, according to Sean McDermott, who told Schulten the Bulldog yesterday. Hopefully you get him back soon. Doesn't sound serious, but still, he missed. Spencer Brown is returning from that back injury, but he should be okay, right? It feels like that's the case, but you know, it's something that they managed a little bit earlier. Tylon Grable is in concussion protocol, so Ryan Vandermark now suddenly is a starter. So you never know. Alec Anderson is still out. That's an interior guy that they don't have right now. Suddenly Chase Lunt becomes interesting as a guy that can be a little bit flexible, maybe the rookie. Tackle, guard, what they want to do with him there. So yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces here. The good news is they did get both safeties back yesterday, Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp. So that's really good news.
Yeah, and on the safety room, Sal, it felt like the last time we heard from McDermott with the media, not yesterday with Schulten the Bulldog, but with the media, there almost seemed to be, I don't want to say an aggressive tone, but there was some worry, it felt like, from McDermott talking about the safety room, Bishop missing as much time as he has. When he has been on the field, Sal, it does seem like it's been Bishop's job and no one else. There's not really a fight there. But what have you seen from him?
Yeah, he's I don't see the details of if he's lining up exactly properly every time, right? And all his keys. Like, that's for the coaches to know. But what I see is a really good athlete. And when he's on the field, I see him covering ground and I see a physical guy. And when I go back and watch last year's film, like, they used him all over. They used him in the box. They used him in center field. And I think that's kind of why they drafted him, A, and why they really needed him to be on the field. Because let's face it, guys. As much as, you know, DeMar Hamlin was a nice baseline guy to plug in there at times and had a couple interceptions, they need more. They need more athleticism. They need more higher-end talent. They need more, I think, you know, critical plays being made by the safety position. And that's where I think Cole Bishop can help, but that can't happen if he's not available. So from what I've seen from him, he's as advertised as far as the athlete. It's the catching up on, is he in the right spot? Does he know everything to do in every nuanced situation working next to Taylor Rapp? And that's what Sean McDermott's talking about. When he talks about Cole Bishop, when he talks about Taylor Rapp, some of these other guys, the biggest thing for Sean McDermott for the safety position is, especially that position, but it goes for linebacker, it goes for offensive line, defensive line, is you got to be able to work in tandem with the guy next to you. And if you're not getting time on task, then it doesn't matter even if, like, you're a really good player, because if one of you guys makes a mistake on the other guy, that can compound it with two mistakes being made, basically, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned kind of the versatility, too, how they used Bishop last year. One player that's getting praised for that, also the last time McDermott spoke with the media, Jordan Hancock, who I thought had a pretty solid game against the Giants, and he's being used everywhere, which is sort of what he was, you know, pegged to be out of Ohio State.
Yeah, I agree. I like the game he had. He obviously had the interception that did not count because Landon Jackson was offsides. He also had a really nice play on he came up and laid a lick on somebody in front of me, and I don't remember the exact play, but I remember saying, okay, that was a nice hit by Jordan Hancock. Nice tackle. When I talked to him after the game, I asked him about everything that's on his plate, and he was very interesting how he talked about making the transition. It sounded to me, okay, it just sounded to me like Jordan feels like he's here at safety for a little while, you know, and that makes sense considering the injuries they've had. So now, what happens this week? Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop are back. Do they start to move Jordan Hancock a little bit more back to the nickel? By the way, Cam Lewis wasn't at practice yesterday. Mm-hmm. So, like, something there where now you need a little bit more from Jordan Hancock there. So the thing about Bobby Babbage reminds us, he is a rookie. He is a rookie. It's the details. Those are the things that matter. I like Jordan Hancock's future on the Buffalo Bills. I don't exactly know what position that future is. Maybe he's just a Cam Lewis and he does everything and that's just fine. I think they're really, really confident and comfortable, though, with Cam Lewis on this roster and being that guy right now until Jordan Hancock can learn all those nuances.
Sal, speaking on players that had a good showing back on Saturday last week, who are some players that you're looking for that can try to build on a solid performance from last weekend and an opportunity to try to further cement their case with their standing on the roster?
Well, I think we'll go back to wide receiver here. Tyrell Shavers, obviously a guy that we've talked a lot about, and he had a really nice game.
Yep.
We didn't hear much from Elijah Moore. We kind of haven't. And I'll be honest, though, guys, it's not necessarily because he's done anything wrong. If you watch that, there's a viral clip of Elijah Moore running free down the middle of the field, and Mitch Trubisky didn't see him. What if he throws it to him and he catches it for a touchdown, right? I mean, we're like, oh, there's Elijah Moore. That's why you brought him in. But how about the injury to Curtis Samuel? Like, where does that stand right now? This opens the door for a guy like Tyrell Shavers. I'll give you another guy. It's Laviska Shenault. I want to see what the plan is here for Laviska Shenault going forward. He returned a punt in that game. He's never returned a punt in a regular season NFL game or a college game. But the fact that they gave him one in that game tells me they're trying to see what more he can handle, because if there's like, if he can do that and be effective, maybe there's a spot for him to also fit in on the roster at wide receiver. They threw him a ball in the two-point conversion. He made a nice catch, had another catch beside that. He also, as we know, is a main kick returner that they really like having back there. I think that's a guy that could, you know, start to show up a little bit, see what he can do. I like what Jackson Hawes did at tight end. Now, he's not surpassing Dalton Kincaid or Dawson Knox, but I just think this is a situation where this is a guy you're going to rely on a lot. He's going to be on the field in these blocking situations, especially. I don't know if you guys know, did you know about me giving the announcers jinx, unfortunately?
No.
On Sunday?
Oh,
what
no.
happened?
Oh, yeah. So this, I should have gave myself an arrow down. An arrow up, arrow down. Like, I forgot when I wrote it. I made a note, give myself an arrow down, which I've done before, but here's what happened. So we go to break during a timeout, and the radio broadcast is during the commercial. And during the commercial, I said, hey, you know, we're walking through, like, who's bringing it back? What are we talking about? I go, oh, I got something on Jackson Hawes. I'll bring it back. Greg Harvey, our excellent, you know, director, producer. He's like, yep, absolutely. They count me down, come back. Radio broadcast comes back. And I say, live on the air, you know, Jackson Hawes, rookie tight end, known as the best blocking tight end in the draft, but he has really good hands as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Buffalo Bills throw him a pass or two before this thing is over.
Mm-hmm.
What happened on the very next play?
That was then. Oh no!
Preseason very next play.
Don't beat yourself up. It's preseason.
I mean, yeah. So anyway, I do want to go back. I just think about that. It's funny because it reminds me of the fact that he is a rookie. And there's a lot going on for him, and maybe he just wanted to turn up field a little bit too soon. But I will tell you guys, in all honesty, he does have better hands than people gave him credit for. And he did drop that pass. But he makes catches sometimes in practice, and you're like, okay, there he is. I want to see a little bit more from him, what he can do a little bit there. So I think that's a guy that I'll be looking at. On the defensive end, it's all about those young defensive linemen. I need to see more from Landon Jackson. I didn't love his game on Saturday. And that doesn't mean he can't be a lot better this week. And, you know, again, you guys are swimming upstream right now as rookies. I want to see more from Landon Jackson. The penalty obviously is notable, but he wasn't on the stat sheet at all. It really didn't make an impact. Maybe that changes this week. He gets another week under his belt. We'll see where that goes. On the other hand, I really did like what I saw from both Deion Walker and TJ Sanders, and I'd love for them to build off it.
And then, Sal, last thing for me here. We did get a little bit more on the details of James Cook's contract late yesterday, reading off of Mike Gennetti's Spot Track. And really, it kind of breaks down to 3 years, $30.1 million practical. It sounds like he's also going to get $25 million of his guaranteed money over the next year. I think all in all, the Bills did a really good job with this deal. And Cook himself also did a really good job getting a lot of this money up front.
Yeah, I agree. You'll say, man, James Cook is handling this very weirdly. He shows up and then he's not at practice and he doesn't practice. And then, you know, all the things that were said on social media and all of that. And, you know, I've said since the beginning, agent driven, like he's listening to his agent and he's giving him this advice and it just seems a bit odd. I've said all that. You know what, though? At the end of the day, I think his agent and him did really well for themselves. They got a nice paycheck here to put him more in line with some of the top backs in the league. And that's always been the aim. It wasn't the $15 million per year that was floated out there, but it's a nice paycheck. In the meantime, he can float out all these different numbers and put it as high as you want, because that's what agents do when they give the numbers to reporters. But I think the Bills did a good job of, you know, keeping the money down a little bit to allow them over the next 2 years, specifically this year and next year, to still have room around the cap. And then let's see where it goes from there. Let's remember, James is under contract for this year, and it's a four-year extension. It's basically a five-year deal. So you bake that into what he's getting up front to give him some money, and then you extend that out a little bit. Now you can have a little bit more room, and his salary cap got lowered this year by about $2 million. And then next year, his salary cap is basically what it would have been this year. So I think from that standpoint, Brandon Bean did a really good job to make sure that he's not offsetting his own plan building this team.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Sal, trip to Chicago, any big plans? I mean, you guys are getting there a little bit earlier than you normally would for a game.
Yes, we have plans. On Saturday,
here we go.
I will be attending the Cubs-Pirates game at Wrigley Field.
There we go.
Booyah.
Have you ever been to Wrigley Field before?
Yes, one time, 2018, I believe, it was 2018, Josh's rookie year, I think it was, the Bills played the Bears in a preseason game. You guys remember that big comeback the Bills had, like, late? It was A.J. McCarron.
McCarron sighting in a Bills uniform.
Yeah, if I remember right, because they played at Chicago a few times in preseason, but I think that was the year a bunch of us in the media went to Wrigley Field the day before and sat in the bleachers. It was really hot. It's going to be hot on Saturday, too. But, yeah, Chicago's a really fun city. It's a great summer city. And the Pirates and Cubs, Pirates happen to be in town playing the Cubs, although I don't believe Paul Skeens is pitching. That would have been really cool. But, yeah, going to hit that up on Saturday.
Fantastic. Enjoy the trip. Fly safe. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Sal. That was Sal Camacho there on the West Her Hotline. I have heard that about Chicago almost 100% unanimously. It is a beautiful summer city. Never been. I almost went a few years ago back when I was in college. Didn't end up going. It was going to be in the summer. That is a city I do want to hit up. And also, Derek, I will tell you, now that I've been to more Major League Baseball games, I didn't go a ton when I was younger. Being an Angels fan, the team I followed, you know, they're on the West Coast. I want to start hitting up more ballparks. I really do.
I want to say I feel like the thing that I'd want to watch the most is probably the Bulls, if they get good.
Yeah, you're asking almost for a miracle at that point.
Yeah, but also, that's a value ticket right now if I go.
Mm-hmm.
So
go see the arena and all the banners and stuff like that.
Yeah, why not, right?
It's so funny with the Bulls. Yeah, they were bad before Jordan got there, really good when Jordan got there, and then really bad after he left with a few years with Derrick Rose in there where they were good.
Yeah, they sprinkled in a little bit of that, but I think it'd be cool to go to that stadium and just... It's a cheaper ticket right now than anything else
cheaper
in Chicago, probably.
Than anything else,
other than White Sox games. Don't ever go to White Sox games.
There's a good Bills comparison here, and that is simply this. Because when's the last time you heard the word bandwagon? The Bills have been so good.
It's been a minute.
They've been so good for so long, you can't even really accuse anybody. I don't even hear anybody accusing anyone of being on the bandwagon. Is it maybe
like on the Bills bandwagon?
Yeah. When's the last time you heard someone say, like, oh, these bandwagon fans? Because they've been awesome for 67 years.
Yeah.
And let's apply this same question that Owen is wrestling with about, like, he's going to decide to pick a Premier League team. If you had someone, I'm ready to watch the NFL, who should I pick? Are you allowed to pick the Bills? Are they too close?
No, they haven't won.
They haven't won.
Yeah, I think
so.
Not.
It's okay if they haven't won.
Yes, I think if they've never won it, especially if they've never won it. But
I don't want a good. I mean, never is.
No, like I would empathize with a fan base that's never won a title before. Like why did I root for Cleveland to beat the Warriors in the finals because they had never won one before?
Right, but a fan base that's never won a title. Have the Colts won a title? Yes.
Sure.
Has their fan base won a title? Was yes. Was anybody alive?
I mean, it was 18 years ago.
Sorry, I forgot about that one. I was going all the way to Super Bowl V.
Okay.
The point is,
so like the Jets, for instance.
Sure, the Jets. Yeah. They have one. Like,
right.
Come on.
No, like I would naturally, like, as time goes, like, oh, you haven't won in 60 years. Like, okay, like to me, that's almost the same. But if you've won, you know, if you won 10, 15 years ago, then, you know, it's going to be a little harder for me. Why did I root for the Lions in past, like, NFC championships? Because there's a 70-year-old season ticket holder who saw one playoff game in his life.
Right, right. So that would separate the Bills and the Ravens, because the Bills and Ravens are about the same team right now, living the same life.
Yes.
And the Ravens have Super Bowls.
They have two. I would if I were picking a team right now in the middle of nowhere America that's got no team, I would pick the Bills over the Ravens. And that would be part of it. Might be the only thing might be who I like watching more between Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson.
That's probably who it comes down to for
that
a lot of people.
Probably is the first thing, but which if it's close at all, I'm probably picking the team that has never won it before versus the other team that's won it twice.
Yeah. The Lions here, a popular pick if you're going with the haven't won anything route because they haven't won anything.
No,
and
nothing.
And that includes like not a lot of playoff games in 50 years. So that's a team that's not won a lot.
That's right.
I wonder about the Bills. You know, they've probably picked up fans internationally around, you know, around the world, Australia, Italy.
Yeah.
As, you know, the NFL tries to globalize and all that, and they've been on TV a lot. The number one way to gain fans in any sport is to get on television. That's how the Braves became a mega team in the 90s. They were on television.
They're on TBS.
They're on TBS. I had a television that had a dial, click, 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 click the dial, and it got Channel 4, which is where the Braves were when I was 12.
Yeah.
So it sounds terrible to say, but I feel like it's not that unusual. If you were of a certain age and the team you watched went to a channel that your TV didn't get, you just became a fan of a different team. That was me. I grew up watching the Mets first. Mm-hmm. Mets are on channel 7 WWOR. Mm-hmm. And then the cable channel shuffles stuff, and I don't get the Mets anymore, and now I get the Braves. And what did I do?
You start watching the Braves?
I became a Braves fan.
Wow.
Because that's the team I can get. You couldn't sign up for Paramount Plus. You know, it's 1991.
Uh-huh.
And the Braves got good, and they were on every night. And not a lot of teams were on every night. It might have been them and the Yankees. Maybe the Cubs. WSTN, WPIX, I don't know, old timers.
The Pirates on or something?
The Pirates were not on. No. I mean, all this is happening in the Syracuse area, so that's where I grew up.
Right.
So
When is that change happening for you? Mets are no longer on TV?
From Mets to Braves?
Yeah.
Mets went from Channel 7 to wherever they went. I just know I didn't get it.
Like, but there wasn't enough time in your childhood to build up enough where, like, I can't change now. I'm a Mets fan. Because, like, if you're 12, 13, maybe. 14,
I live in Syracuse,
years old,
New York.
Yeah.
Close. I live in the middle of New York State. I actually went to a Mets game when I might have been 10.
Yep.
But they're not on TV anymore. If you could not.
How are you going to follow? You're listening on the radio.
If you could not see the Bills. I know, imagine that, right? You can't imagine that in today's media landscape.
No,
all of a sudden, you can't see them, and you can't get their radio games. What are you guys, you're like, wait for the paper every day? Like, the team I like won. I guess that's how generations did do that, but if there's a team available to you on your television, you start watching that team, especially if you just like baseball. If you like baseball, this might be something for not football, not hockey, but how are there so many Yankee fans here? Is it because they were on television?
Oh, sure.
And their moms or dads watch the Yankees. And why was that? Because they were on TV? Why is Notre Dame popular? They're on TV.
They're on TV.
That's it. Notre Dame's got a national fan base. How'd they get it? Because their games were on Sundays Saturdays on NBC.
So I'd like to believe, then, is that all those Yankees, Lakers, Notre Dame, Cowboy fans, it's being evened out a little bit, maybe more these days, because now you can see anybody you want.
Yes, I think that's probably right, that the era of pick who the TV picks for me has at least has been balanced.
Yeah.
I think.
Now, if anything, like some of those teams, maybe this is how I'm geared. I don't know if everybody's geared this way, is the Cowboys are on again. I hate them. They're the worst. They're not deserving. They're on national television, every other week.
Yeah, well, so are the Bills.
That can go the other way.
So are the Bills.
That's right.
So are the Chiefs,
but Eagles. The Bills, it does feel more like they've earned it more.
Oh, for sure.
Like, they are exciting to watch. They are constantly a Super Bowl contender in the last 6-7 years, whereas, like, a Dallas example or Chicago has been this forever. It just feels like you're just putting this team on because of the market size, and networks are going to do that, but that doesn't mean I'm going to enjoy it now because I've got a mid-football team in front of my face because you got to put them on every other week. And the Bills are the opposite of that. The Bills are, right, like if a kid is becoming a fan of whatever team, I can't, especially the last couple years, I can't imagine not picking the Ravens or the Bills. Right? These two quarterbacks are they not the two most, is it arguable they're the two most exciting quarterbacks to ever watch play football. because of the combination of running and the way they throw the ball. Like, exciting is not the best, right? Like, you know, the running part of it, the athleticism part of it is being baked in a lot here. But, like, when I grew up, when Michael Vick is on the Falcons, everybody that was my age loved Michael Vick because he was exciting, because he was the fastest person on the field. And I have to imagine kids now are doing that with Allen and Jackson.
Yeah, I think so.
More than they're doing it with Mahomes.
Then again, Mahomes wins, and, you know, that's exciting.
Yeah, but then you're a bandwagoner.
There's a quote, a couple quotes here from Tom Brady, who was speaking with Joel Klatt of on the Joel Klatt Show.
On Fox.
Makes sense, Joel Klatt's there. Did you see the comments?
No.
It's about Mahomes, Brady. He just got a statue, Mahomes. Or sorry, Brady did. Mahomes probably will. But Brady's got a statue, and there are some quotes in here that you decide if they are nothing or if you could get Tom Brady, you know, at a bar with a beer, what he would say about it. He's asked about the quarterbacks in the league. He's a minority owner of the Raiders, by the way, and making comments about Mahomes. Like, is that allowed? Anyway, are there any quarterbacks he respects for how they go about their business? Remind him of himself. Brady said, Mahomes.
Okay.
Only Mahomes. And what he said was, everyone wants to win, but what are the habits and the daily habits and the actionable things you need to do every day to put your team in a position to win? Patrick Mahomes, to me, is the one that does that the most often because who he is, obviously his physical talent, how he understands what he needs to do offensively, brings a consistent winning attitude to work every single day. In the biggest moments, you can depend on him. There's other guys that are still developing. They need to prove it before, in my mind, I can say he's done it. That's not my saying much. They've all shown flashes of amazing things. They're all great players. All of them can make tremendous plays. At some point, they need to take the next step and take, in my mind, more ownership of what they're doing in terms of the organizational level to do more things to empower more people, to get more people on that train or that bus with you to head in the direction you want to go. Only Mahomes. Is that just because he won?
That's really how it feels. Like, what does he do differently? Habits and whatnot that he's talking about that
Lamar,
he's saying
or
Lamar
Allen
or Josh don't do. Like, one thing I thought of immediately, you know, not to criticize Mahomes for this, but what did Brady do throughout his entire career? He had a nuts nutrition plan, right? Like, where he wouldn't eat a strawberry, you know, didn't have a beer for 15 years. Like, he was crazy about his nutrition. And do people just know Patrick Mahomes has, like, a weird ketchup obsession? You know this?
I did not know this.
He eats ketchup sandwiches. He puts it on mac and cheese and steak, like, all over. Like, he's got – I'm not saying he's a problem for this, but I've seen him talk about, like, going to Whataburger and stuff. So, again, like, he's fine. It's working. But I would think Brady, of all people, would be like, that's not how I did it.
He goes on. He says more. The quarterback's, in many ways, the CEO of the team.
Yeah.
You have to have the ability and the belief from the entire team, offensively, defensively, and how you act every day matters to all three phases of the game.
Yeah.
You don't just punch the clock. You don't just punch the clock. I did my job. I threw 40 touchdowns. Why are we not winning? What are you doing in the offseason to help your defense? What are you doing to push the personnel department to get people doing the right thing? Are you involved in game planning? I used to do game plans. I used to walk in and say, here's the things we're doing. I used to walk in and do my own walkthroughs. I used to say, all right, guys, I don't give a bleep if the coaches want to come. We're doing our own walkthrough.
See, now that is something. I don't know. Is Mahomes like that? Do people think Mahomes is like what Brady just described there? Because that is something that I wonder about Allen, if he is that way at all. Brady very much, especially at the end, became all of what that just sounded like. Like, I'm running the show here, and this is what we're doing game plan wise. And hey, you should go trade for this guy. And why does Antonio Brown go to the Patriots for 2 weeks? Because Brady wanted him. Like, you got to go get this guy. I need this type of receiver. There's a lot of that with Brady. And I don't know what Allen is like in that department these days. Like, Allen comes off as usually like one of the guys. And, you know, 1/11th, he'll talk that way. And he leaves that up to the coaches and the personnel department. I do also have, you know, it feeling like Kincaid and Coleman were Allen picks to some degree. So there's that, but I don't know that he's got his hands on. Do you feel like Allen's got his hands on the operation the way Brady would make it seem that he did at the end?
I don't know.
Because I don't feel that way. The way Rodgers did in Green Bay or in with the Jets, too.
I feel like there's a way to ask this about Allen without, again, like I don't want to sound like we're coming for him. But I had a conversation maybe at camp, after camp. The McDermott and the Bean conversation, people sometimes want to know, like, oh, if it doesn't work, what will change? You and I were joking yesterday. Seth Walder predicts the Bills to win the Super Bowl in 2027. And I said, do they have the same coach? Do they have the same front office? Maybe, maybe not. Whatever. These are just, you know, random predictions. I guess the question I would ask if I'm out, you know, asking people about Allen is, do you want him to have it in him to say we need to make a change? Like, at the top? Do you want that in him at all? Because I don't know that it is. Would he ever go to someone and say, McDermott's not going to get it done? Sometimes people want to talk about how the Bills could change their coach, and that's always entertained as, well, I mean, if the franchise quarterback says something in an NFL franchise, that usually lands. And I don't know that Allen has that pitch, and I don't know that anybody wants him to. I'm sure there are some. It's probably a confirm your prior situation, right? If you want a new coach, you hope Allen is the one to say, this isn't good enough. And if you don't think there's a problem, you don't want that. And there's cautionary tales, of course, of quarterbacks that, you know, might have done that and not gotten away with it. But that's the only thing out of these Brady quotes about Mahomes that I think. And again, it's not like Mahomes has done that or has had to do that. He showed up with his coach, and they won right away, and they're forever entrenched as all-time greats as a pair. So he never had to really do that.
No.
Not that Allen will have to, but to me, that's like the elephant in the room conversation about this. Do you want him to have that trait?
Yeah, I think I do, even though I don't want him to use it yet. Is that fair to say? Like, yes. I don't want him to use it right now. Like, I don't think there's a need for that yet. But I do want him to possess the ability to play that card if he needs to, because if they ever need to make a change or it's ever time to make a change, I don't know that anybody would make it other than him. Like, he would be the only way that it happens. I think without Allen going to the organization and saying, hey, I think it's time to make a change, I don't know that they would ever make a change. And I do not need them to fire either Sean McDermott or Brandon Bean or have any desire to see them do that right now. But I also don't believe they should get Josh Allen's entire career if they don't win. And I don't think anybody is able to make that call except for Josh Allen, because I don't believe ownership would do it. So I think it would have to come from the quarterback. So I want him to possess that ability, yes. Because he's the only one that it matters.
803-0550. If you have a thought on this, just kind of found our way there.
Yes, just like stumbled upon it.
Yeah. Coming up today, Kevin Fishbane of The Athletic on the Bears. The Bills go to Chicago this week to practice with the Bears and play a game against the Bears. That'll be on Sunday night, Sunday, 8 o'clock. There are no preseason games until Friday. Huge mistake, NFL. I would have watched something last night. Told you. Would have watched a game. Didn't, though. Instead, we wait till Friday for more preseason action. And contract watch continues on like 4 or 5 big names in the NFL. It'd be different if it were only Cook, wouldn't it? But we have a handful of players.
Mm-hmm.
That are going through,
right,
this.
Right, there's still there's no update on Trey Hendrickson?
Nope.
Or anything?
Nothing on Hendrickson.
Micah Parsons?
Cam Hayward, he entered the fray late.
Right.
Cam Hayward kind of started to do it the same way that Cook did, which is, hey, you know what? Yeah, I'm holding out too. I'm holding in.
Right.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, hanging with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, which, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Week one of the preseason is behind us.
How you feeling, everybody? And I think it's mostly... I do like the consistent messaging that we've been getting, though, from the couple callers that we've taken today, which is, I know it is preseason. Mm-hmm. I do have some things on my mind that are kind of troubling me, but I'm not going over the cliff right now, which is exactly how you should feel if you have negatives on it. If you have positives, you need to say the same thing, which is, it's one preseason game. Let's see if it's strung together. Like the Shooter Sanders thing we were talking about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's one preseason game. He could be chunkage throughout the rest of this, and like it's all for naught.
Yeah, so it really was just a week of talking points, a week of excitement, and that's it, right? It could absolutely happen.
Yeah.
I will tell you, though, this is where I prefer the college route, where it's peak paranoia. No one knows anything until like week one. I love that stuff. Where the most you'll get is reports from internally of their camps of like, oh, I really like this player. Everyone thought Florida State was great last year based off the internal dialogue that everyone was getting. There were no preseason games to see if DJ Ungalele was any good or if their defense had retooled or not. There was nothing. There's absolutely nothing. And we're going to get the AP poll today. That is coming out, I think, at noon today. We already got the coaches poll, what have you.
Right.
We'll know who the top 25 are. There will be a team in there, probably more than one, that are garbage.
And they're like, hang on, you're not supposed
that
to be
are,
here.
That do not meet the expectations they out. Had. But a lot of those expectations happen because there's absolutely nothing you can learn. For like a month and a half,
there's no preseason.
It is zero dark 30. You get very few reports. Everything is behind closed doors. And you just hope and pray the information you got is somewhat correct.
I do love that.
It's
though.
So good. It is so good.
I do love the mystery.
Now, I will say it does lead to some week one games being disasters. A few years ago, Alabama played USC. This is right before Sam Darnold starts. He ends up starting later that year, and they end up actually going on to the Rose Bowl. But they play Alabama in Dallas. It was one of those neutral site games. It's a blowout. It's horrendous.
Yep.
A few years ago as well, Alabama, Michigan, Denard Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Disaster. You have those games. But you will also have the surprise teams that catch everyone. Arizona State last year. They were picked last in the Big 12. They win the darn thing.
Yeah.
They look, hook 'em horns, baby. They had them dead to right.
Yeah, they did. They were getting...
Texas has to score on a fourth down.
Yes, they did make it a little scary in that game. And I will say, though, it's always fun to have the mystery, though. I love mystery.
Love mystery.
Mystery is fun. Mystery and intrigue are always fun, especially if you don't see other teams. And
Cold
like,
War paranoia, baby.
Yes. How good are you really? How good are we really? Like, it's
what information do you believe? What's being fed to you? It's the best.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's kind of fun. I do kind of want that for the NFL, mostly because I don't know the appetite of a 2-game preseason, for example. If the NFL moves to its 18th game, which they desperately want.
Yeah, we kind of know that is coming.
It's going to have to come with the trade-off of the entire preseason, because who's going to care about 2 preseason games? I'll tell you who won't. NFL teams.
You wonder if owners will still want that one, because that's the thing. It's going to be split. You'll have one home, one
NFL
away.
NFL owners and NFL teams are probably the difference in this.
Is that we want that coaching one more staffs, game.
Coaching staffs do not care. They it's not that they don't care. It's that they don't want to worry too much about it because it's bland planning
mm-hmm.
and it's looking at the depth for your team. It's not
it's
the starters
much,
at that point.
And it's too much chaos.
And with only 2 games, you're either playing the starters in the first one or you're not mm-hmm. at all. Done.
Yep.
We're done with the conversation at that point. With 90 players, what is the point?
Yeah.
And the NFLPA would push back on reducing training camp roster sizes.
And that's the big negative of that, though, isn't it? I mean, like the preseason, having 3 of them, there will be guys who are just simply not NFL roster players.
They are camp bodies.
But they can get on camp, and then they can play in some of these games. A lot of these are on NFL Network, so it's to a certain extent national television. Like, they get their moments. Here, a perfect example, too, as well. We're talking about Sanders there. Who would know anything good about Shedeur Sanders up to this point if it weren't for he played in a preseason game? He wasn't getting any reps.
He wasn't getting reps
on the
practice.
Bills. Tyrell Shavers. It would just be camp. And you know, you can differentiate, you can separate yourself from others in practice too, but we've mentioned you sort of have to marry the two between the preseason games and practice. Now, if it just goes to practice, or likely what would start to happen, I think, in earnest, is what the Bills are going to be doing this week, which
I
is the joint
here,
practices.
I think here, Steven Gosnell. That's game body.
Yeah.
He makes a fun little catch in practice because there were so many injuries mm-hmm. to wide receiver. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you don't suspect he's going to make a roster.
Or last year. Andreessen.
Right.
He's now there. He's now seemingly in pole position to be their backup middle linebacker. But if fans only know he's on the roster and there's only – and I think this does play a little bit of a role in it. Only a little bit of noise because we're not seeing him all the time. Really what I think for most of us got to he should be on the roster was last year's Pittsburgh game.
And Christian Wilkerson.
Mm-hmm.
Wilkerson has a ultimately incomplete catch because he's out of bounds.
But boy, did that look good. Yeah, one hand catch on the sideline. It's good in college, not so good in the NFL and in high school. But
yeah, right. It's high school. You need 2 feet
yeah,
in two.
I'll never.
And college is like, no, we're going to stay with one. What do you mean?
Yeah,
fix
I'll never.
At
I'll
this
never
point,
like
fix
that.
It. It's not. It gets the players to not have to worry about adjusting at that point.
Yeah, it's kind of bogus.
It's kind of ridiculous. It's very bogus. But players like that though. And if you're not going to have 3 preseason games, if it goes down to 2, I look at it as a coaching staff and going, why am I wasting my time with 90 players?
Like, what am I doing here?
What am I doing here?
I can just be getting ready for week one. I mean, college.
They're just preparing
for
week
one. They spend 3 months getting ready for the week one opponent. Ohio State and Texas have been spending too long getting ready for each other.
Which is kind of hilarious if a team puts up a dud on in week one like that.
It also proves just how good the other team was. I think that's always how I've taken it is that it's like, okay, we've now figured out the talent issue. Like one team is going to be better than the other.
But I think that's the case in college. But like, in the NFL, if I'm a coach, I'm not wanting to have to worry about this. I want to just get to game planning at that point.
Which makes complete sense to McDermott's point, too, of like we don't game plan for specific teams. Why waste the time?
Why waste the time? And
especially
if you
have
2
preseason, Baltimore week one, that's your start of the season?
If you only have 2 preseason games,
what is it that is going to benefit at that point? Who really benefits from this? And the answer only is the pocketbooks.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
But coaches and even like your top-end roster players, why are you here?
I think we kind of found that out in 2020 when there was no preseason because of the pandemic. Defenses struggled a little bit in the first month. There was a lot of high scoring. I remember. Yes. I don't know the exact stats, but I remember that was a big thing. A lot of scoring. Offenses were on fire, the whole thing. But ultimately, we all kind of figured out in 2020, ooh, we don't really need the preseason. Camp, practicing, getting reps in practice, like, that's where it matters, the nitty-gritty. The behind closed doors things, that's really what matters. And the preseason, yeah, is to sell tickets. And to that point as well, we brought this up on pregame on Saturday, it's a cheaper way for families to go. We mentioned that.
Yes.
And you know, it's the last game at Highmark Stadium. It was a chance for families to go and to enjoy the afternoon and maybe not stay the entire time. That's the thing, too. There's no stress to it.
Yeah, you don't have to stay the whole game.
If the kiddos are tired because it's 90 degrees outside and you're baking in the sun, it's all good. Who cares if the game is close? It doesn't count. And so like, I guess that would maybe be my one continuous push to have the preseason, as much as I don't really like it, is that it is a cheaper way for families to go, and I still want that to be available.
I still want that to be available, too, which is why take as long as you need to with that 18th game.
Yep. 803-0550, the number to call. Your thoughts on game number one of the preseason. Another tweet in here. Frank, D-line not getting home, getting stood straight up, and Daquan Jones just taking up a bit of a roster spot here. You know, the Daquan Jones thing, I still want him on the roster because I don't know what I'm going to get from the rookies right away. I just don't, and I don't want to have to rely on them immediately.
If Ogunjobi wasn't suspended, sure.
But that's the thing. You're going to need him because I don't know what I'm getting the rookies, and the body count will be low, not due to injuries, due to suspensions, but the D-line, again, there were flash plays, and there were. Deion Walker had a very good PFF grade, and to be fair, every time he was in, you saw something. The Dancing Bear comp was on full display. He looked awesome. But in 51 pass attempts, the Bills registered zero sacks. I watched an uncomfortable amount of Chicago and Miami yesterday. Zach Wilson was sacked 4 times.
Is that also... Here I am about to trash Miami's O-line, and it's not like the Giants are known for their offensive line prowess.
And it's not like they were trouting out their prime Russell Wilson, or that Tommy DeVito and Jameis Winston are these nimble athletes that just, man, they're escape artists. Johnny Manziel learned from them. No. And so that is something, too. Again, the flash plays were there, but that is something, even in the preseason, I do think Bills fans are going to need to see. I know I'll need to see, is that they are starting to get home. Like 2 years ago, they were one of like the top 5 units in terms of sack numbers. I think last year they were middle of the pack. It was a steep drop off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a big part of it too, because their pressure numbers were better than the Eagles in the regular season. Their QB hit numbers were pretty darn good. I brought this up with Greg Rousseau. He's top 10 in most of those categories.
And then when it mattered most.
But in sacks, he's like 28th, and he led the team in sacks at 8.
And again, when it mattered most, mm-hmm. the last time the fans saw the Buffalo Bills play football.
Yeah, Rousseau was sort of not just a non-factor, a bit of a negative factor, especially in terms of how he set the run.
And that was your best pass rusher.
Mm-hmm. And so I think that is absolutely going to be something. It's a minor thing, because how much can you really take from the preseason? We've talked that to death.
And on the other
side, the idea of seeing Javon Salman get home, Alandon Jackson get home, TJ Sanders register a sack, or Bosa, you know, that's kind of, you know, not to necessarily the money and the term, but he is sort of your big addition of, he's going to be the guy that helps us unlock more of Greg Rousseau. He is himself going to help us down the line.
And Bosa was one of the things you could actually take away that was a positive in that game.
Yeah.
So the small snap shares for the starters is also something about it too. But you want to see your depth actually do something, because that's what's rotating in.
Mm-hmm.
You want to see them playing against backups and making plays themselves. And if they're not, are we in for more of the painful stuff that we had this past year, which is a middle-of-the-pack passing rush that does not ultimately get home when it matters most?
Yep. And that's the thing. Like, depth is all fine and dandy until it's bad depth. Like, I look at the Eagles in both their Super Bowls and what they were able to do on the defensive line. It's all good depth. I mean, this is why guys like Milton, I'm blanking on his first name, he gets a big contract after the Super Bowl. Josh Sweat gets a big contract after the Super Bowl. His pressure numbers weren't
right.
Greg Rousseau's. Sack numbers were. Sack numbers were better.
Because he's getting to there at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
you do have to be able to finish plays. Like even TJ Sanders with that hit on Dart.
It's a nice play to see, and I'm excited to see it.
It's a nice first look.
Mm-hmm.
But when the snaps get real and the score is kept for real, you need to get home.
Yeah.
Cole's the one who's missed quite a bit of time, again, just like last year. So, you know, it remains to be seen what he's truly able to do and do for us. And, you know, that's a big position for us, right? So, and then, like I mentioned, numerous times over, the continuity between the two of them, you know, kind of like the Batman and Robin piece, like it's just experiencing things together. How did you see it? How did I see it? Being in the film room together, it's huge, and we're getting short on time.
Sean McDermott almost sounding solemn there, talking about injury concerns. Cole Bishop, the subject this time. McDermott will be on with us tomorrow at 4. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog at 803-0550. Staring at this list of playoff wins by quarterbacks since 1966. 149 quarterbacks, by the way, if you wanted the number of who has at least one. That many guys. Joe Ferguson. That many guys have at least one. Ferguson has one.
Shea. Right, the Jet game. Right.
Case Keenum has one. Nice to hear his name earlier. Case Keenum was out of the league last year, but is a backup in Chicago.
Right.
Former Bill, one of the great Bills. Case Keenum, 2022 season, 2 for 7, 8 yards. He's been on like 8 teams, not including the Bears. He played for the St. Louis Rams.
He's the definition of journeyman.
He is the definition of journeyman. I think you're right. Who is the definition of journeyman? Why, it's Case Keenum, I believe. You have to be around a long time and a lot. You have to have journeys.
You have to have a lot of teams. A
lot of teams.
I think 5.
Minimum.
I think 5.
This guy meets the standard.
Otherwise, like if you don't get the 5, then you're like, you know, I'm thinking of baseball here. You're a veteran junk baller, basically. You're just a live arm in the bullpen. But you get the 5 teams, journeyman status.
Texans, Rams, Vikings, Broncos, Washington, Browns, Bills, Texans, Bears. If he makes the Bears, there's a highlight of him making a nice touchdown pass against Miami last weekend. Case Keenum.
Oh, good for him.
Good for him. All right, so I want to play with the Allen stat. We have with Sal.
Sure.
We have played with it a little bit. But, and I keep saying this, it doesn't tell you anything you didn't know just sort of in real life. But the perspective maybe adds to, this is really amazing what has happened to the Bills in the last 5 years. I don't know about unprecedented. You hear different frameworks for that. Aaron Schatz came on a couple of weeks ago and said the Bills and the Ravens of the last 5 years are the two best teams to not make a Super Bowl like ever. Whatever. What did he say? Something like that.
Yeah. Generally, that's the vibe. I don't remember what other criteria there were there, but yeah, that they are at the top of the list of teams that have been great but just have not gotten all the way home. So, I mean, it's another way to feel, you know, what I think the fan base definitely feels all the time. And I think the organization feels too, like the sense of urgency to get it done. Like the opportunity that they have, there's no denying they have been good enough, great enough to win the Super Bowl. They just have not been able to. And like, you know, some of that absolutely is in their own control. Some of it is that they have picked a hell of a time to be great because there's someone greater. Like Mahomes is just that much better than Allen, whether it's in the clutch or whatever it is, like these big moments. He's got this coach that's an offensive genius, and that's a leg up from what the Bills are dealing with here. Good luck going and finding Andy Reid out there somewhere, but you're in tough. It's not unlike really what the Colts were dealing with Brady and the Steelers, like other teams that were. I think the Bills are better, have been better consistently. Like those teams had and eventually got their Super Bowls, by the way, Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning, both with the Colts and Steelers. But there were also years in there where they were not at that level. The Bills have been right there every year so far that since Allen really arrived. They take the rookie season in 19 if you want and put him over there. Once he got to I'm this good, you know, recognizing that Mahomes did that right out of the box. I mean, he got to the Super Bowl. They didn't win it, but his first year starting, they went.
They lost in the AFC Championship.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
To New England.
Thank you. Okay. I mean, I'm glad you were right there.
Should have won.
Sure. But still, they didn't. It was the next year. Okay. Still.
But they've been in the AFC Championship every year of his career as a starter.
Right. So he didn't even really need a ramp-up time, although he did get that year. So, you know, Allen, 18, you can throw out. And playoffs every other year since then. Every year since then. I shouldn't say other because that implies that you're missing all the time.
I would challenge you on the Colts.
Yeah.
But not the Steelers.
Okay.
I mean, the Colts had, 2003 forward, 12-4, 12-4, 14-2, 12-4, 13-3, 12-4, 14-2.
Okay, I misremembered then. There is no down year in there. They're a powerhouse and lose to the Patriots most of those times.
Yeah.
I can't, well, not exactly.
Yeah.
But, so.
9 years in a row in the playoffs, 12 out of 13. The one non-playoff team being the 2-14 team that got them luck.
Right, when Manning was hurt. Right.
And the Super Bowl was in their fifth of those seasons. So that was the Bills last year or even the year before, if you want to count
the 19th. There was a lot of that last year leading up to the Bills and Chiefs meeting in the playoffs. Like, look at the synergies here between Brady and Manning, hitting your head on the same doorway, and like, okay, here we go. It's our time now. And yeah, now that's gone by the wayside. I mean, we'll probably still see that again because it's only another year later, but the lining up of those careers isn't going to work anymore. So it's similar enough to that, but you know what? Where does it leave you? It leaves you at you're gonna have to do this at some point. Your team is great, but the problem is like Baltimore is also gonna be really the people doing this job in Baltimore should be saying the same things about their team, and I don't know, to a lesser extent, like the Bengals feel more. They're the one of the three that have gotten there. They got to a Super Bowl. Burrow did with the Bengals. But they're like disadvantaged to the extent like they don't seem to have one side of the ball together at all. And so, you know, unless that just randomly changes, which it could, it is defense, right? What have you said for years, right? Learning from Aaron Schatz, it's erratic. So I'm not assuming because the Bengals have been bad and haven't changed a lot that they will still be bad. Like it could just, whatever, the ball could bounce for them or something and they could be middle of the pack on defense instead of terrible. But anyway, like you've got those three guys alone, Jackson, Burrow, Allen, are as good as any crop of quarterbacks you've ever had in one conference. And only one of them has been to the Super Bowl, and none of the three's even won it yet. And they're, you know, Burrow's the earliest in his career of the three, but they've been around already. It's kind of stark, you know? Somebody's turn has got to come up. Like Roethlisberger and like Manning finally got there. A time or two.
I think the Ravens' pain is worse than the Bills' pain. Maybe. Why I say that is because of the Bills, they can't even lay claim to, Patrick Mahomes. They've only lost one playoff game to Kansas City.
Right.
They've lost here twice. They've lost to Tennessee. They've lost to Cincinnati, but Jackson missed. They lost to the Chargers when Jackson was a rookie. Like, they've only gotten to Kansas City once. That was at home, and they lost that game. That would have been very painful.
Right.
Similar to the Bills the week before. That was the same season. When the Bills lost at home to Kansas City. That was back-to-back games.
I'm biased by being a Bills fan, but like that performance is meeker than any of the Bills playoff. Maybe it's comparable to the Bengal playoff loss, but the losses to the Chiefs had been lately, the last three of them, the AFC title game in 20 was kind of a blowout, but they've been right, like punch for punch right there. That game was close, but like the Ravens didn't even look like I don't know. It was just a weird. It was a weird game for them.
Which one?
The loss to Kansas City. Like Jackson was. Everything about it just. You did not get anywhere near their best.
What the Ravens, like we've all sort of either known or learned that it's very tough, not even fair at all, to put the Bills' losses on Allen. Like he's not perfect, but it's very tough to build that argument. Listen. Baltimore against Kansas City, AFC Championship, 3 turnovers to 0. Ravens-Bills last year, 3 turnovers to 0. Like, that's very tough. What are your odds?
Right.
Any team, no matter how good you are,
right.
What are you, 10% to win when you're -3 in the NFL, something like that? I'm guessing. But
it might be worse than that.
And they're both one-score games at -3.
Right.
It might be worse than that. So I think, I don't want to listen to, I love Jackson. I don't want to listen to Baltimore in the same way I would listen to Buffalo talk about like how close they've been. I mean, the Ravens have maybe even been a better regular season team than the Bills have in this span. Jackson missed a chunk of games or even twice, right. And Allen has not done that.
They have done a thing the Bills have not done, which is get the one seed. They did manage that 2 years ago.
That's right.
They can't lay claim to hitting their head on the Chiefs' ceiling. Baltimore.
That's right.
The Bills can. I mean, that doesn't excuse it. It's the same problem. It's just at a different level because if Allen and the Bills and McDermott could not find a way to handle Jackson and the Ravens twice in the playoffs and weren't even getting these opportunities against Kansas City, then I think, you know, then you're more similar to what Baltimore's going through. They can't even get to the level the Bills are at, and the level the Bills are at, nobody wants to be at either. You want to get all the way there, right? I should say nobody wants to be there. I mean, they're achieving great seasons. Both teams are. But they're not getting there, and Baltimore's even falling shorter.
Yeah, the Ravens might think that they have a Chiefs problem, but they have a Bills problem. I mean, the two playoff games, they didn't take the ball away once. That's the Bills and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
The Bills have played Kansas City in the playoffs 4 times. They have not intercepted Mahomes once. 9 touchdowns to 0. So Bills have a Chiefs problem. It's exclusively a playoff Chiefs problem, by the way. The Ravens don't have any 4-game winning streak against Kansas City in the regular season. They beat them once in a wild Sunday night game. On a CEH fumble late. Like they're sort of lucky to get it, but great game.
They almost had him in the opener last year, but didn't get it.
They had an overtime loss too, I think. They've had a couple close losses, but that's kind of what their story is. You know, they beat everybody else, though.
Yep.
Except last year they did lose to the Browns at home and the Raiders. That would even be tough to live with. Why weren't we the one seed last year? How did we lose to the Raiders and the Browns? The Browns. Watson. Beat them. Elijah Moore was huge in the game. Watson beat them in Baltimore last year.
Is that maybe Watson's most recent win?
I think it's his last game. Probably. Because he got hurt after that and he was gone. I think. I'll look that up. I think that's how I remember it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
at Lowe's. This Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10-7 through 12-1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.